Thank God that he can erase away all doubts and all fears, and we can start to live on an eternal realm right here. He can erase away all doubts and fears. I remember, you know, the scripture says that if any man is double-minded, he's like the waves on the sea tossed and fro, to and fro. It's in James 1, right? Let not that man think that he shall receive anything from God. I hate that scripture because I was full of doubt. I mean, reading, teaching, whatever, but there was no heavenly confidence in my heart. Right? It all comes from another realm, right? See, it all comes from another realm. In other words, until we reached another realm, there really was no confidence and faith. So in the natural, you cannot be other than tossed to and fro. It's not till you reach the regions of the upper world and be endowed by a fragrance that comes from another territory, and it starts to manage the way you think, can you not doubt? So I say that the storm gets quieted by the grace of heaven alone and by the blood of Jesus and by our authority that we find ourselves in him. I do want to, Kristen, I want Kristen Davis to come up. I just want to show you something. She's going to minister later on. But if you could turn to everybody. See, this is what we live in. That cross on her. Your name is written inside of it. And so then nothing can touch you. Your name is written inside the cross. And so we take on a different habitation. We leave the world and we inhabit the upper world of the cross. And so then no weapon formed against you can prosper, right? Then you can be still and know that I'm God, right? I'm safe and secure in his everlasting arms, right? Thank you. So we're leaning on him that the grace of God is going to keep us in motion in the spirit, though. So many things I want to say, but I think I want the girls to minister first. If they can go ahead and get ready and get their songs ready, our wonderful young ladies are going to minister to the Lord and dance. And let's just stay in the spirit with them. And I believe this is not like entertainment or anything, but it's real worship. In other words, we thank God for the cross and the cross in their lives. And they'll grow up to be something to be contented with. Amen. Praise Jesus.
Y'all, good morning. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all know I spent my birthday with y'all. And I sat on the back seat. And I toiled and I toiled and I kept asking God, I wanted some flags for my birthday. Well, I ordered them while I was here. So I thought it was only fair and right that I shared it with y'all what was received. So on Palm Sunday, I got a message from the young lady about the flags. She said, the blood started to overtake the flag, so I had to make you some new ones. The blood took over the first set that I made you, so I had to make you some new ones. So I received the flag on Thursday, and the blood was so heavy on the flag that it came through the box. So this is the word that came with the flag, and the Lord told me to stop calling them flags. So as soon as I finish, I will never call them flags again. I'll tell you what he told me to call them. So this is not only for me, but for you, because I was here when I got them. The name of your silk is the blood. The color in it are white representing victory, ruby representing Jesus, Yeshua, cranberry representing that you are worth the ultimate price. The verse that goes with this silk is Revelations 21:5-6. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. In the Hebrew language, the word ruah means to give a shout, a victorious and passionate cry. In the same way, the Father is declaring over you, it is done. It is done. As Jesus took his last drink on the cross, shedding his blood, he declared, it is finished, symbolizing the completion of the Father's sacrifice and sealing our salvation. The precious covenant contains a deep meaning of the blood has not yet been plumbed. By the power of the blood and union and intercession, teaching, prayer, and prophecy produces an anointing that brings freedom and much more. A personal invitation is being extended to you for the hidden mysteries of the blood. The Spirit of the Lord is saying there is so much more. Now, for anybody that was at Bible study Wednesday, you will know why I fell to my knees when I read this. A word for you is called My Blood Covers. This is the prophetic light that is connected to this that you have. My blood covers you and cleanses you from all unrighteousness, says the Lord. You cannot add to what I have completed for you on the cross. For when I said it is finished, it was. You cannot make yourself righteous. You cannot make yourself holy. I have accomplished this for you as I have blotted out every one of your sins and wrote my name in the book of life. As you receive what I did for you by faith and made me the Lord of your life, now walk in me. Walk in my righteousness. Walk in my holiness that belongs to you. Live in it, for I am your righteousness, and I have made you holiness unto me, says the Lord. I will empower you by my spirit that is in you to be all you to be. I will empower you to do what I have created you to do, for you will never be without me. You will not have to rely on yourself. I have given you gifts to use. I have activated you to use them. I have poured out my blessings upon you that you may pour into others. As you do, they will increase. Trust that they will not be depleted as you use them. But as you pour out, I will pour down and pour into you, and you will have more than enough, says the Lord. I will provision you for every purpose that I have for you, and you will be fully furnished and fully equipped to fulfill it. You do not have to fight your way into my presence to eat at my table, for all that I have belongs to you. You already have access to everything that I have given you freely as come and receive what awaits you. There I have more than enough for you, and you will not lack any good things, says the Lord. I'll read the rest when, as Pastor leads me to, but for those of you that were at Bible study, this is every single thing that the Father said. And this is the blood weapon. I'm not to call it a flag, it's a weapon. These things, the reason why he won't allow me to call them flags is because they're not normal. Unless I spend time with them, I will not know how to use them because I can't use them because they're not ordinary flags.
Your birthday never ends. Amen. Who else? Amen. Who else?
Weapon that he gave you. I saw him. You were doing it. So as you walk in it, as you, you know, step up, he showed you, you were doing it. And it's like God was just showing me you were doing it. So as you spend time with him more and more and more, well, amazing, amazing, amazing. So thank you for sharing.
Praise Jesus. Good day. Lily, you have more on that paper?
2 Corinthians 10:4. The weapons are of our warfare are not physical, weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortress. Beloved, the things of my kingdom rarely make sense to the natural mind. From a human perspective, brute force seems like strength, while tenderness and compassion can seem weak and powerless. But from a spiritual perspective, love and compassion are two of the most powerful weapons we can yield. So resist the urge to assume you are weaponless and ineffective, for that is simply a lie from the pit of hell. You have more than enough assets on hand with which to wage effective warfare. So use them well, love. Walk in truth. Be righteous. stand in faith and in all know that I am with you and working in and through you. The second nugget was Psalm 45:3. Gird your sword on thy thigh, O mighty one, in your splendor and your majesty. Beloved, stand ready. Be prepared to fight at my command. You do not war against flesh and blood, but against supernatural powers that would move against you and against my kingdom. But do not be afraid, for I have overcome the wicked one. Beloved, none can stand against me. As my children stand with me, they are aligned and prepared for victory. For I am the victorious one, so stand and resist the devil and all his efforts to move you. Stand in faith unwavering. Stand with me. Ephesians 6:12 is the voice. We are not waging war against enemies, but of flesh and blood alone. No, this fight is not against tyrants, against authorities, against supernatural powers and demon princes that slither in the darkness of the world, and against wicked spiritual armies that lurk about in heavenly places. The final prophetic nugget by Megan Williams comes from 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Emancipation from bondage and freedom. Beloved, my spirit brings freedom. Receiving me is receiving my spirit. You are a slave to bondage no more. My spirit lives within you. The traps of the enemy cannot hold you as you have surrendered yourself to me. Let my spirit lead and guide you. Be sensitive to my flow. I will direct you. I will teach you and I will convict you. Trust me to lead you rightly and trust me to lead others rightly as they surrender to me. I can open the door to your cage, but I cannot force you to fly. You must choose to fly free. I have made a way, but you must walk it out. Beloved, soar with me. You've been released. The chains are broken. Don't believe the enemy's lies that you are still his hostage. The blood has paid the price. You need not try to pay it again. It is already covered. Simply move in the freedom that came at such a high cost. This has been prayed over and anointed with the scent of heaven called the atoning blood. Here's more about the history of this oil. The Lord showed Carol an oil, one with red bead in it. She asked him, Lord, what is its name? He said, it is my atoning blood. She asked him, what should I do with it? She heard nothing for almost 2 months, so she waited. And on Good Friday, at a special time, he started telling her what was to do. Sandalwood, it takes 30 years for this harvest to come to tree, to be cutting of the bruising. Labandum, which is the rock rose called the Rose of Sharon, and myrrh, from his beginning, from the wise man to his end, it tells the story. So often we forget how significant a price was paid for our freedom. A freedom we take for granted and so often to give to needless activities while neglecting the one who loved us enough to free us. This is a reminder of the price he paid. May your heart be filled with the knowledge of the declaration and the seal of Christ's love and sacrifice. And I received those for Thursday, the day before Good Friday.
Wow. 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 Man, I don't know what to do with this house. So I had, of course, I had no idea. She texted me that she had something this morning, but I had no idea it was all of that. Praise Jesus. Shelly, you ready? Hi, Tina. Hi, Kay. Hey, good to see you guys. Praise Jesus. You need a chair or a stool? Shelly's going to share with us from the upper world in dream form. Hallelujah. Good to see you.
Good to see you too, Apostle. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Zion.
Good morning.
Good morning. Now you can put me on the spot as soon as I got in the door. Hallelujah. Whew. God is amazing. I don't even know how to love him back. I just don't know how. I don't know how to love him back. Not in this. I just don't know how. Yes, I don't know how to love him back. I have been worrying about my granddaughter because she's in New York. And I've been, you know, praying for her. And I've been talking to her on the phone every day. And I would talk to her, Skype or whatever you call it. And I would say, but are you all right? And she wanted to talk about her tooth that fell out. And I said, but are you all right? You know. And she wanted to tell me what her brothers are doing. But I'm like, are you all right? I'm all right, Grandma. And I'm like, Lord, you know, keep her covered. You know, bring her home safely. And so I had a dream the other night. And I woke Derek up to tell him about the dream. And I said, Derek, now this dream is crazy. Well, let me back up a little bit. My daughter has been walking with me. It's been urging me to get out and walk since the weather has broke. And so she and I have been doing that a couple of times a week. And so in my dream, I wanted to go for a walk, but there was nobody in the house to go for a walk with me. And so in the dream, I was praying, well, Lord, is it okay if I go by myself? And in the dream, you know, I felt the Lord gave me the release to go walking by myself. And so I took my tank just in case I needed it. And in the dream, I said, well, I'll just walk around the building one time. But in the dream, I walked around the building twice. But on my way back around the building the second time, it started getting dark outside. And I was like, God, I didn't realize I've been out here this long. I said, let me hurry up and get to the house. And so I started walking to the house, and it sounded like somebody was walking behind me. And every time I looked back, it was getting darker and darker. It was like the darkness was following me. And I finally turned around, and I was like, let me back up a little bit. I'm messing up the dream. Well, before I had the dream, I was fixing Derek's closet, and his closet is in the living room. And I have a plant in the corner, and out my peripheral, it looked like a man was sitting in that corner. And I kept turning around. Every time I turned around, nobody was there. And so I go back to the closet, and I see this man in white sitting in my peripheral again. And I turn back around. I was like, okay, Lord, if I got an angel in here, just let me know. Just let me know. I said, because I feel like there's an angel in here. And so in the dream, it was an angel in that corner in the dream. And in the dream, the angels told me, he said, I just came to tell you to fear not. Fear not. And that's when I went for the walk, after the angel said, fear not. And so on my way back to the house, and it felt like the darkness was following me, and I quickly turned around, and I was like, who's behind me? And this demon jumped out in front of me. Do you all know what a minotaur is? Minotaur. It was like a minotaur with a gator's mouth. And you could see like these two rows of huge teeth. And you know that if he snapped you, you know that your arm was going to come clean off because of so many sharp teeth. And in the dream, I could smell how horrible this breath was. And I kept turning, because his breath was so horrible, I kept turning my head in the dream. And he said, I came to collect you. And I said, who are you? He said, I'm COVID-19. He said, I came to collect you. And he was like, I just need you to call out to me. And I said, I'm not going to do that. And as I was talking, I was backing up, walking backwards, but I wouldn't take my eyes off of him. But my inner man kept telling me to run. But I was too afraid to run, and so I kept backing up, slowly backing up. And he had this loud, roaring, computerized, animated voice. But when he opened his mouth, it was like this horrible stench, and this forceful wind came out whenever he would say who he was, and that he needed me to call out to him, call out to me, for I have come to collect you. And the moment I went, something just said run. And the moment I went to turn around and run, Alora ran up to me, and she stood between me and the demon, and she put her hand out, and she said, "Don't be afraid, Grandma. Don't be afraid." And she says, "We're not afraid of you." And she said, "See, Grandma, I still got on my dress you made me. You remember the dream I had about dipping the robes in the blood for the children?" She said, "See, Grandma, I still got on my dress you made me." And she said, "Do you want to put it on?" I said, "I can't fit it." She said, "Well, you can put it around your neck." And I said, "No, you keep it on. You keep it on." And she told the demon, she said, "I'm telling you to leave because you're going to fear us." She was telling the demon that he was going to fear us. "You're going to fear us. We're not leaving. You are leaving." And she never took her hand down. And she said, "We're not scared of him, are we, Grandma?" You know all that attitude she got. You know, "We're not scared of him, are we, Grandma?" And I said, "No, baby, we're not scared of him. We're not scared of him. We're not scared of him." And the moment we said that together, it started getting light outside again. And so she was like, "Well, Grandma, since we're outside, can we play?" And I said, "Yeah, we can play." And she said, "Let's jump rope." And so we start jumping rope. And she said, "Let's double dutch." And I don't know how to double dutch. And she said, "I'm going to tag you in, Grandma. You just jump in. Don't try to just jump rope. Just jump in." And the kids was, you know, twist. She said, "Grandma, don't think about it. Just jump in." And so she reached out to tag me. And I jumped in. And she started, and the kids were singing some song. I'm trying to remember the verse. It was two verses. I was trying to sing it to Derek. And one of them was, being covered by the blood and walking in their authority or something. And they were just singing these rhymes while they were double dutching. And then Mom ended up there. And Lori said, "Grandma, Nana, I'm going to tag you in. You get in and jump rope." And so as soon as she said, "I'm going to tag you in," Mom just snatched the oxygen off and she tagged her in and she started double dutching. But the more we doubled, let me back up a little bit. I'm going too fast. Pastor Sharon was there. I had a dream about double jumping rope with her a few years ago. And she was there. Yes, after she passed. She was there. And she said, because this is going higher. This is going higher. She said, "You just can't jump on the ground. You got to jump higher." And so when she said that, she jumped in. And she was like, "Come on, Shelly, keep jumping, because we got to jump higher." And so as we were double dutching, we started elevating higher. And then that's when we tagged you in, and you snatched off your O2, and you started jumping. You know, I mean, we could just immediately do it, even though I knew I didn't know how to double dutch. When I jumped in, it was like my feet just took over and knew what to do. And we just kept tagging people in and out, in and out, and they just kept jumping in, just jumping in, just jumping in. And the more we jumped, the higher we elevated. The more we jumped, the higher we elevated. And the more we jumped, all that fear, all the fear left, all the anxiety left. You know, we were just out there, just, you know, elevating towards the sun and just laughing and praising God while double dutching. So I don't know why I ended on double dutching.
This is crazy. Wow. Can we see how God trying to get us to understand how precious his blood is? He's painting such a picture that we cannot even think about going backwards. Our DNA has changed so tremendously that, look, there's no way Lilith had this flag, even when she was waving it. See, she said something about the blood. See, the blood don't care if you know how to or not. You see what I'm saying? He's trying to get our sin conscious to come underneath the blood, saying the blood covers all of this, that you don't need to know how to do anything. That's why you double dutch. That's why, see, look, the biggest enemy for us is our fear of not knowing. Why did Pastor get up here and say in the beginning about faith? You're here because of faith. Right? Your faith is in operation because we believe in the blood. Not our own ability. We've been bamboozled all these years thinking that we had to bring something, and we don't. We have nothing to bring. Look, when she waved the flag, when she literally was waving the flag, when she stood up here, you can feel the blood drops, right? Why do you think God painted this picture? Hey, last week Shelly said that she cut her wrist, right? In the natural, when you cut your wrist, that means you cut in the order, you're going to die. You're going to die. But God said, no, see, my ways are not your ways. My thinking is not your thinking. He said, I'm going to cut your wrist, and I want you to shake the blood on the people. Because I'm going to give you life with my blood versus you looking at situations where I'm saying, oh, I'm afraid because of I cut my wrist. No, he said, I'm going to use this to put my blood droppings on you as a remembrance that you was hidden in the cross. That's why he told Kristen to come up here to let you know that all of this began at the cross. Listen. The people in this house, listen, we got to understand this. Why you think Pastor Gloria had that dream about laying on a cross way back in the beginning? God know what he's doing. PWM, God know what he's doing. He said, I got to get you to understand that it's not by your ability or what you know, but are you willing to submit yourself and get on the cross? Once we understand and identify ourselves are dying with Christ and allow him to be the resurrection, see, he has to do the work. In the dream, Pastor Gloria was dancing around the cross. But at some point, she got the revelation to lay on the cross. That's how your name get in the cross. Because, see, now we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. So when he got pierced in the side and all those weapons that he took, it ain't just a story. It's to bring you into redemption and to righteousness so that you would know that you are from the tree of the Lamb of the God. That now we have substance outside of our own ability to say, God, I trust you by faith. In the dream, right? In the dream, she said Pastor Jerry had took off her oxygen. Why? See, y'all got to catch this. She still had the oxygen tank with her. Shelly still had it with her, but that didn't move God by the blood. He said, I still want you to jump rope. See, in the natural, that does not make sense because I can't jump rope when I don't have no oxygen. But right now, because of, I know how to double dutch because, see, God done told me how to double dutch because I'm in the spirit. See, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm not moved no more by my mind. I can't be moved by the fact that I don't understand how to double dutch because in the natural, I can't. But, oh, my goodness, in Christ Jesus, I can accomplish a whole lot. I am so sick and tired of me sitting here wailing about my sin conscience and what I done wrong. And because I don't understand why I can't do and accomplish some things in the natural. Oh, my God, I repent for my sinful nature. But, oh, I got to turn my sin conscience into love conscience. I got to turn my conscience to the point of I have to do it by the fruit of the Spirit. Why? I can't understand why I got to get this. But something down on the inside of us now. PWM, don't miss the moment. The moment is we have to understand how precious this blood is. How valuable this blood that we have. We got to stop selling God short. His blood. I was telling somebody, I said, you know, I think about that song. Everybody be talking about, they got a song just about, you know, about the blood. Everybody singing this song. And I wish I could sing. But my song is, all the blood that Jesus shed for me. Way back on Calvary. And it says something about, it reaches to the highest mountain. And it reaches to the lowest valley. It would never, ever, ever lose its power. Do we understand that? See, back in the day, we sung that song as a hymn or as a song just because we want to sing it. But oh my goodness, what value that is. Think about where you were in your sinful nature when you was running and acting like this world was your home. Think about how that blood came and found you. You want to come get this mic? Because I can go on with this thing. I begin to understand when I come around Pastor Jerry and she just start telling me about her, this conscious, this sin conscious, and how all of a sudden it began to change her, that she began to see something totally different. Why? Because the blood brings forth revelation. The blood erases doubt and brings more faith and brings more revelation, that you will see the mysteries of the gospel that's not even written by man. Why would these girls come up here and dance the way they did? Listen, they didn't want to do this as a praise dance, but they're doing this because it's a lifestyle, as an intimacy relationship with God. Because we're not teaching our children how to dance. We're trying to teach them how to have a relationship with God for themselves, because they can have the same thing we have now. It's time out for us playing church. What is saying the dream? Oh, I am the coronavirus. Oh, I'm going to bring fear to you. But when you're not of this world, I don't know if you guys remember the movie called E.T. No matter how much E.T. loved that little boy, E.T. wants to go home. I don't care how much he befriend him. I don't care how much he protected him. E.T. said, E.T., go home. E.T., go home. Michael wants to go home. See, we speak of these ailments and these diseases that's coming along. See, this is just the beginning, people. We're panicking now, but it's just the beginning in this world. But when you off this earth, listen, guys, do y'all recall when the message that God was sending in this house was, we don't belong to this, we belong to a higher level, we belong to a kingdom? Y'all remember how, see, you got to understand how God is putting all this stuff together. You remember how Pastor kept talking about, you know, our identity is in heaven, our home is in heaven, and it's from another world. And remember when BJ had a dream, and he said that he saw this big old tower, and we was on this, the needle. He said it was so, like in Seattle, how it was so high up. Remember when BJ had a dream and he said that he was playing with the kids and he looked over to the side and he saw the earth. He was somewhere else. God ain't playing. God ain't playing with us. He's trying to get you to understand. And myself, look, you're not from here, so I'm going to get you to understand. So when you got resurrected, I took you with me when I went to sit on the right hand of my Father. You are sitting with me in the heavenly places now. You don't have to wait until you get there when you already have what you have now. Oh, yeah. See, doubt and fear and all that stuff still trying to take residence. is still trying to hold an anchor upon our ankles and say, no, I'm going to hold you down. But no, 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 no. It's the blood. See, it's the blood. I don't care about what you did 2 minutes ago. I don't care about that bad thought that you just had. I don't care about what you did last night. I don't care about that little lie you said and all of this stuff. And then we want to justify the white lie, the black lie, the green lie, the blue lie. God don't care nothing about that. All the thing he care about, do you believe in the blood? He said, I cherish the fact that I bruised my son to get you in redemption. I cherish the fact that I had to get Adam to straighten up to come back in relationship with me. I cherish the fact that I said that you worship me in spirit and truth. I got to get your spirit back in relationship with me. The whole purpose is for us to understand that we are kingdom kids. Can I keep going? Drake, can you keep me for a minute? I'm gonna show you something. This stuff running through me like crazy. Dang. Drake, you get a chance. Come up here for a minute, sir. I'm gonna show you the fact that what God is doing and why he's saying that this blood is so real. Because it's more departments to it. It's more things to it than what we can imagine. How does blood wipes away a whole lot of things that we don't understand? Pastor, who is Drake to you?
He's my son in the spirit and in the natural.
That's your boy.
That's my boy.
Listen. That's Pastor Gary's son and Pastor Glow's son. They love their boy. Dre decided to come over here and he wanted to do a simple act. He's doing a simple act. But who is he to you?
That's my boy.
Even though he's in a simple act, that's still his boy. He leaves this area and he comes over here. Stand up here, sir. And he's incarcerated and he's in more trouble. Who is he to you, sir?
My boy.
That's still his boy. Come on, sir. Then he come over here. Now he's doing something else that's wicked. He done went from a sinful nature as we know in the world. Now he's wicked. Who is he, sir?
My boy.
That's his boy. Thank you, sir. This is what God done for us. Right? Even though we have sin that came short of the glory because of the blood, he don't see what you did over here and over here and over there. He's not depending on that. What he's saying is, that's my boy. He's telling the devil, that's my boy. He's telling you, that's my daughter. Why? Because he deals with forgiveness. What Pastor talking about? He's not dealing with the operation of forgiveness or I remember when. I forgive you, but I ain't gonna forget. Only thing God is saying through Jesus, because of Jesus' blood, he said, look, that's still my boy. Go down there and you minister to him. Send angels. That's why the angels in your virgil, you would send angels coming. See, now I understand what was going on with me now. I thought I was saying some things and I start turning my head. Why? Because I begin to see angels. But see, my doubt was like, what am I saying? Whoa. What's back there? Because I got to get you used to where you're from. Understand who your family is. How can I introduce you to your family when you're afraid of your family? You can't be afraid of an angel because he's your cousin. And that's why, like Pastor Glover said, the angel, what the angel said, when your cousin come up, he'll say, fear not. Why? Because we're family. See, but we're looking for our natural family. Oh, this is my mama. Oh, this is my mama. Mama. But no, when I see Jesus, I can say amen. See, a lot of us get to the point where when I get to heaven, I want to see my mama. I want to see my cousin. I don't want to see none of them. I want to see Jesus. When I see Jesus, I can say amen. When I think about all he's done for me, when I think about how he brought me, amen. Because Jesus shed his blood and said, look, I'm going to go to Calvary and get nailed with 3 nails into me so you can be redeemed from resurrection life. I don't know what's getting into us these days. I don't have that. There's no script for this thing. But I know something on the inside that I couldn't even sleep last night. And I said, God, I'm not worthy. I keep saying, God, I can't. I don't like standing in front of your people, but I love it. See, that don't make sense. Because I think about more so his blood than I do think about my iniquities. I think more about the blood than I think about my iniquities because, see, my iniquities try to hold me back. My iniquities try to keep me from going where I need to go. Same thing with you. You have so much destiny inside of you because of the blood. Don't let the enemy continue to lie to us and say that we don't have. Or having us to live in the other F word, which is fear. Our life has to be consumed with faith. God, I believe. God, I believe. I believe. God, I believe. I believe this stuff. What you say, David? Jesus already knocked Satan out with death. He killed death. He beat up death. He already knew that he's defeated. How many of us really believe that? See, we say it, but we don't believe it. He put death to death. What sense does that make in the natural sense? How can you put death to death? Jesus can. He already did it. That's good. Same thing with the reality of what he's pouring out into us right now. It's a life-changing opportunity where God said, I want to give you more than what you can even imagine and to control. Yes, I need some water. Even the water represents something. Even the water that's in the world, he said, look, this represents my Holy Spirit. Remember when Pastor was talking about he prayed for Pastor Jerry and said, you could be swimming, you could be floating in the ocean. See, I can't forget this stuff. Said, you can swim in this ocean, you can't drown. Then Drake came up and started talking about the same thing. What is the lazy river? You just floating and you can't drown. Why? Because the river's taking you by itself. Why? Because you don't need to do nothing. Why? Because Jesus said, I got this under control. It's the mindset that we have to allow God to change. It's the mindset that we got to have Christ's mind. He already said we already got his DNA. James, come here for a minute. I'm going to show you something, God. I'm going to show you something. I didn't want to do this because I know it's going to bug some of you out, but I'm going to do it anyway. Listen, James, I need you to spit in my hand. Now, give me some spit, man. There you go. We said that's disgusting. Thank you, sir. Now you want to hand me some tissue to wipe my hands. I don't want to wipe my hands yet. Because we said that's disgusting. We said we worry about the nastiness of anything that's going to belittle us as people of God. But see, I don't care what you think right now. You ain't did nothing for me. I got to change my mindset about what you think versus what God said who I am. He said, I'm a son of God. I don't understand it all, but I want and I have this hunger inside of me saying, look, I don't care you spit on me. I don't care about the coronavirus. I don't care about my asthma. I don't care about anything else, but God, teach me your ways. Teach me your ways. Why? Because I ain't playing no more either. The devil ain't playing, and I ain't going to be playing. Either we're going to live this thing, or let's just go home. Let's close the church up for real. Let's just go home and read a book and look at TV. Look, God said this. This is what he said to me. Oh, man, y'all got me started. Listen, one of the things I told God years ago, I said, God, you can have everything, but you can't have my sports. You can have everything, but I need my sports. And then this is my earthly thinking. I'm saying, now, if I get sick, I could look at the game. Right? If I had to lay in the hospital, I could always look at the game. I have something. So I said, look, I got to get 3 sports teams. I got to get something for the summer, spring, and winter. So I said, I had to look at me a basketball, football, and baseball. So I had to get me something to keep me covered because I had to protect myself in case I be by myself. But here we go. But all of a sudden, I've been in my apartment, and all of a sudden, I start losing interest in looking at all the baseball games. And I'm like, wait a minute, something ain't going on here, and I ain't doing nothing to make this happen, okay? Because my desire is to look at the game. But every sudden, all of a sudden, instead of me looking at 9 innings, I start looking at 5. Then it went from 5 to 3. Then it went from that to I got to record it just so I can go back and look at it later. Then it went from recording to the point I just want to read about it. And then God showed me the other day. He said, you see what I was doing, son? He said, I took the desire when you didn't even know. You didn't know this coronavirus is going to come on. And I'm going to show the devil that he can't have my people. Because, see, we done made that his God. We done made our sports our God. I'm going to tell the truth. We done made that our God. He said, look, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to take that out the way. So now what you going to watch? They can't play now. So what are you going to do now? There's no games. There's no games. But what we would do, we'd sit there and put another God in that place. When he said, I want you to learn how to make a sacrifice and let the blood offering cover you to take you up higher because I want to introduce you to something greater than a game. It's called eternal life. I want to introduce you to eternal life, not churchism, not just being conceived with the fact that I know things about church. Listen, this was not even rehearsed to the point where I told somebody, and I sure even told Shanique, I said, Shanique, I got all these messages that I wrote down, all these titles I wrote down. I got all these titles that I made up. One title called Jesus Dropped the Charges. The other title, one of the titles was Good Cop, Bad Cop. There's another one called I've Been Redeemed. God didn't give me none of that. He didn't give me none of that. But I guarantee you right now, I could preach either one of them right now. with no problem. Why? Because it's me. See, what's going on in this house today is all God. Shelly didn't know how she was going to do this. When she asked Pastor Casey, she shared it. She didn't know how much of an impact it was going to have on the lives of the people in this house. Whoever wrote that did not know what's going on in this house. So explain to me in your natural. I give you a moment. Explain to me in your natural how somebody that don't belong here can write that or say that and have never been here. What'd you say, Mom? The moment is over. Yeah, I'm just still trying to give you a little extra moment. Give you some extra credit. Because you can't think of anything. Recall the time. Pastor, you about to tell me when to stop, sir. It's still coming. Listen, remember the time when we talked about what is nothing? Remember we talked about not missing a moment? So what the nothingness inside of us has to be so clear that God has to do something greater inside of you. He wants to take the brokenness of somebody spitting in your hand and say, look, that ain't disgusting. You know what that is? That's a blessing. That's a blessing. When somebody talk about you and you want to go and fight and defend yourself, that's no. That's a blessing. Think about all this sickness and disease been happening. First, when they think about it, when they came out with the AIDS thing, everybody was scared about the AIDS. We thought that was going to be the end of the world. So everybody that's educated and knows everything, that's why he kept saying, everything that we know in the natural does not mean anything to God in heaven. Can I get my people to come off the earth and come into heaven? See, forgiveness doesn't matter. Because, see, I forgive James for spitting in my hand, even though I told him to. I don't look at James any different because he's spit in my hand. He's still right side. Why? Because there got to be something greater in us and not just a thing that we say, oh, it's a moment. It's a moment. Oh, praise the Lord. I want to give a good word. No, I want this to be a lifestyle that I can say, look, I can live this thing out. Why? Because I read something that's talking about I can't wait for Christ to come back. You've been appointed for such time as this. That single cross changed this universe. That one, just that one. Look at that. It don't even have to be water around your neck anymore. You don't have to have that in your as an earring anymore. Because now that is in here. Because see, I've been bought with a price that cannot be returned. I can't be exchanged for something else. Because Jesus has told God, that's still my boy. That's still my boy. Our faith level is zooming up in the heavens. He's teaching us a different level of faith today. He's waking us up to a whole new arena of faith. Do you believe this? It's not about sickness and disease and all that stuff. We got to stop wasting brain cells on the things of this world. Sickness, disease, all of this. We got to change our conscience to the point of, I'm saying, like I said earlier, the things of the spirit. Oh, no, now my conscience is only dealing with the love conscience. Now my conscience is only dealing with the peace conscience. Now my conscience is only dealing with long-suffering conscience. You know what I'm saying? So I have to learn how to live that. So I don't know how to do that. So now I have to go back to what God, Jesus told me. He said, I send you a comforter to remind you of truth. So now, Holy Spirit, teach me how to walk in where I belong.
Amen. What does scripture say? Give us this day our daily bread. Praise Jesus for daily bread. Let's take all that was, let's imbibe all that was said today. The one thing here that, and I'm going to have Kristen Davis minister before we dismiss the service. But the thing on my heart is, all that was said by Pastor Mike is just so vital. And then the dream where the demon showed up. And the personification of the corona thing, so important for us. The nasty look, the nasty smell. That whole point, the minotaur with the long, what did you call the alligator that just fierce. So, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, That's what was said here. So here's a principality instilling fear throughout the whole world. The whole world. And here's the Spirit of God today by sharing that with us, helping us to understand that we can rise above it without fear. Even though she said, he looked at his mouth and it could just snap your arms off, It's fear, that's all fear. Look at the news. I know they have to inform us, but fear is fear, I just don't watch the news. I wait till I overhear updates when people talking. I just can't watch it, I can't. Thank you for the updates, but I can't watch it straight. I can't watch it streaming. I'll try to take a clip or whatever, but I won't watch it streaming. Because you got men succumbing to the manator and just sharing their consciousness, Mike, about the fear of it. Sure, they're informing us, but they're informing us in fear. God wants us to stand up. And having done all the stand therefore. Shield of faith, helmet, breastplate. And having done all the stand, it said. When we're in the spirit standing like that, no weapon formed against us can prosper. We have the confession all the time. It's time for it to be real. Because see, everything that you believe has to be tested and proven. Everything. We don't go one inch in salvation further than what we believe. And you never go one inch in salvation, whatever you believe is tested. It's got to be tested. Okay. So now it's simply a testing time. I don't say simply. I don't say it like it's not serious, but it's a testing time. Do you believe what you say you believe? And God said, "Okay, you're going to have to prove that. The proving of your faith is more precious than gold." See, I'm talking about everything. If we say we believe in healing, we're going to get tested. Really, see, that's the only way it grows. That's the only way God can turn to the devil and say, it's real. See, because you tried and it didn't work. See, that's the only way he can turn to him. Look, have you considered my servant Mike? He loves sports. Take sports away from him and then see what he'll do. Right? Take sports away from him and then see what he'll do. That's my boy. See? Are y'all following me? See, nothing is cheap here. Nothing is cheap here in that sense. You know, salvation is free, but your growth in the spirit is never cheap. You know, so you're walking out in the spirit, bless God, I'm this, that, and the other, you know. I'm not going to use the phrase, but bless God, I'm here. Satan said, you hear what they're saying, if you take that from them. So everything's got to be proven. See, that's why I'm glad about the times. I know it's a rough time, but I like the fact that God's showing us it's a principality. I mean, we kind of knew it, but then the dream sort of, God didn't have to give her that. See, we're wrestling out against flesh and blood. It's a principality out there. Now, listen to her. First, she said, I'm scared. But once Laura comes and put her hands up, you know, this is like Christ. She's like Christ, right, standing in front of her. And here's what she said. I thought it was getting dark, but as soon as that happened, it started getting lighter again. Sometimes our walk gets a little dark. We're falling away a little bit. And here he comes to help our faith. And here comes light again. I didn't realize it wasn't really getting dark. It was just getting dark on the inside of me. Not on the outside of me. It was just getting dark on the inside of me. And then here comes the blood. Look, Kristen Davis, now I trust again. Because it's all trust. It's all faith. It's all trust. It's all faith. It's all trust. It's all faith. It's all trust. And it's all faith. And that is the ground that Satan fights you on the hardest. And to the point where Scripture says, fight the good fight of faith. Because when you believe, everything's possible. I mean, everything. I mean, everything's possible. So really what's in your way is what is keeping you from believing. Forget, you know, Satan want to hurt you and all that, but he just really doesn't want your faith to get any stronger. See, right? Remember Peter? He said, Peter, Satan wants to sift you like wheat. But I'm going to pray for you. Not that you stop, you know, doing wrong. Not that you be a good person, right? Because you're always going to be my boy. I'm not praying about that. I'm praying that your faith doesn't fail. Because Jesus knows the importance of faith. Jesus knows it's important. Be it unto you as you believe. Right? Be it unto you as you believe. So we walk this path of faith. When everything's going good, quote unquote good, really, when it's going good like that, that's really when we're starting to fall away. Follow me. If it gets too easy, it's trouble. See? This is contrary to the gospel that you heard that was all supposed to be good. But really, you know, people say, well, things are going bad. What's wrong? Well, you better thank God they're going bad. In that sense, yes. Otherwise, you have no incentive, if it's going good all the time, Shelley, you have no incentive to empty yourself of yourself and seek for something higher than you. Okay. So all around the United States and all around the world, people's hearts are failing them for fear. All around the world. And that Jesus prophesied that your hearts will fail for fear. And it's like the Lord said, you don't believe me? I'm going to send a manator on the scene. I'm going to allow a manator to come on the scene so you can see the world crumble. But look, where's your faith doing all that? Examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Prove yourself. So for Tina, you shouldn't twitch. Faith starts ringing in her ear. Come on. Oh, y'all follow me? See, God knew what was coming. God knew the manator was coming, you know, with the fangs or the teeth. Whatever. He said, I'm just going to let faith ring in her ear. Me too. I let faith ring in her ear. So now the scripture about no weapon formed against you will prosper will ring in her ear. It won't be just words coming out off of a page. It'll be life, and it'll be a protecting life. She's walking in a vital authority now. Not human reason or fear, but in a vital authority from the throne. Oh, it can't touch me. 1,000 will fall at my side. But because of what's ringing in my ear, right? Not because of what I heard 1,000 times, but what finally starts ringing in my ear has separated me from sin, sickness, and death itself. Are you following? Even though she was sometimes over there and over there, she was always God's girl. Are y'all following me? As long as something comes, instead of the tickling of the ear, but the ringing in the ear of truth from a higher authority, now she can examine herself and say, oh, I am really in this faith because something is in my ear that's not of me. Are y'all following me? Right? It has no jurisdiction over this vessel. It has no jurisdiction. It may have jurisdiction over the world, but it has no jurisdiction because of the blood. It has no jurisdiction in this life and over this head. Even though she's a frontline, what do you call those people who work now? Essential personnel, no weapon formed against her. She's essential personnel because she has to do certain work with certain people who they call at risk. She's not at risk. She's essential personnel in the kingdom. and to Kevin. But first in the kingdom, though. First in the kingdom. First in the kingdom. Didn't y'all like what Mike said? When I go to heaven, eventually when God calls me up, death's not going to call me up. God's going to call me up. I want to see Jesus. I'm not going to see mom and dad. I want to see the one who I'm really related to. Are y'all following me? Can't think that was good. That's the same authority while she's on this earth. The jurisdiction of the manator is canceled. Look, somewhere we got to believe. Right? Somewhere we got to believe. You know, you think God knows about what goes on. And he's always sifting to see who he can bring up. Can I bring you up? Oh, you're always going to be my girl, but can I bring you up in that revelation of that authority? Can I bring you up? Look. And Rob said, I can't teach you about coming up on a page. I can't teach you at a school level. I can't teach you as you sit and read a book, and respectfully, even the Bible. I can't teach you by head knowledge. I have to take you through it that your faith will rise to the occasion. That's the only way I can teach it to you. It's the only way I can teach it to you. Look, God did try Abraham, right? Because he knew what he was trying to teach him. Amen. So there's a delta between you and the world. The world's been judged. You haven't. You're free and clear. The world's been judged. You haven't. You're free and clear. Look, this is God's idea. He gets glory out of this whole thing. This is his idea. You can't make this up. You didn't even try. This is God's idea. He stands behind it. Like you said, if we had to look at ourselves, you know, I don't know which kind of love comes from. But it's God's idea. We make you holy and acceptable. And that becomes just your reasonable service. Yes. He presented his body, I present mine. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. That's the only thing I'm worth now that's presented as a living sacrifice. That's the only thing I'm worth. Just presented that way. Like I say, we are in Christian's cross. We're in that cross. We're a living sacrifice. If I'm already a sacrifice, a living one, then nothing else can kill me. Y'all following me? Nothing else can kill me. I'm already a sacrifice. What are you talking about? Praise Jesus. This causes you to dance on spiritual ground. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Bless you. Watch it. Bless you. Come on. Okay.
I just wanted to say real quick, before I had the dream this week, I had a moment of just feeling grieved, and I realized that it wasn't me that was grieving; it was the Holy Spirit that I had grieved. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I was hanging clothes in the closet, and I was saying, Lord, you know, why are you grieved with me? And the Lord was telling me that I didn't spend enough time with him. And so I started repenting. I said, Lord, because the Lord and I, we worship together. And this week, I realized that I didn't spend any time worshiping with him. And I was like, well, Lord, I tried to get to church. And the Lord was trying to tell me, no, this is different. You got to worship with me. You got to keep worshiping just with me, just me and you, you know. And I started repenting. I said, Lord, please forgive me for not spending enough worship time with you this week. And I said, keep me covered under the blood. You know, I mean, because all of a sudden I just felt heavy and grieved. And the Lord revealed to me that he was grieved, that I was feeling his grief. And after I repented and went and worshiped, I had that dream this week. And when I woke Derek up to tell him the dream. And at first when I woke up, I was real jittery about it. And he said, what did I tell you in the dream? To fear not. And I have been walking in a little bit of fear. I'm not going to lie, y'all. But after this dream, it's like, I'm not going to say I'm not completely delivered from fear. You know, I'm constantly pulling on God. But I know that my spirit man is not afraid. And my natural man is not, you know, looking at everybody or somebody comes to my door. The first thing comes to my mind, are they sick? You know, and I'll be praying, Lord, let me know who to let in and who not to let in. Amen. And I'm going to just leave it at that.
Amen. Very good. Very good. Look, guys, you know, it's not like we're immune to fear. You know, you just got to find yourself, you know, and let faith start to prevail. You know, we are prevailing word, by the way. And that word's got to prevail. So in the instances in your unbelief and fear, you learn to worship. Which goes back to our point. When we don't worship and pray and give alms and in secret, we automatically become a Pharisee and we automatically give way to fear and everything else. You know, there's no other way to serve God, not even in the church. It has to be in secret. Jesus said, if you don't do it in secret, you know, you're a hypocrite. Anyway. Okay. All right. I think I'm ready for you. Amen. Walk in the Spirit. Walk by faith. Hold on. We got, hear this part. See, there's a demon out there roaring to seek who he can devour. Okay? And what does the scripture say? Resist that thing steadfast in the faith, right? So resist that thing steadfast in the, I don't know if the microphone was going to squeal. Resist that thing steadfast in the faith. See, there's a weapon inside of him. It's called faith. And you know when it really works? The first way it works is that I know I'm not judged. My faith works because I'm never judged. Okay. My faith can work because I'm never judged. 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 My consciousness is clean. Now my faith can. Now the enemy is afraid of me instead of me being afraid of him.
I just want to say about the children. I'm amazed at how God used them. The girls dancing, first of all, and the song that they chose about the Lord breathing into dry bones and making them alive again. That was awesome. But then in the dream, Alora was there representing Christ and the blood, really. And so I just wanted to admonish us all to remember the children and the part that they play, that God given them to play in the spirit. Don't take what they say lightly. Don't forget, I mean, if you have dreams about them, tell it. Let them tell you their dreams. Remember them. Take warning. Be cautious about what they say. Because the Lord is using them in this time. In this time. This is a time that I mean, we all need to be listening spiritually, yes. But the children have a much more sensitivity to what the Lord is saying, especially at this time. So let's give ear to what they have to say and what they're doing and encourage them and continue to train them in the things of the Lord.
Pastor Gloy was talking about the kids. Yesterday, Drew and I he was helping me cut the grass. So, I mean, it's a riding mower, so he was in my lap. But as we were cutting, you know, one end of the, facing towards the one end of the yard, you didn't feel the wind, but coming back, you could feel all the wind, and it was cool. And Drew asked me, he said, where does wind come from? And I said, well, I think, you know, God created wind. What did he ask me? What did you ask me, Jill?
When the wind blows, God?
Yeah, he asked, was that God's breath? And I said, you know what, Jill? It could be. It could be. I mean, I've never thought of that. I mean, I'm pretty sure a lot of adults probably haven't either, but it's coming from a child.
Amen, Kristen. God's got breath. Doesn't stink. It doesn't stink, yeah.
You need to talk before you minister.
Okay, all right. I bet you got something in there. One, two, one, two, one, two. breath of God blows through here. Forgiven completely. Completely forgiven. I think about it like this. You know, God, you know how you deal with things in round numbers? God estimated, you know, the number of your sins for your whole lifetime. But he estimated on the high side. He rounded up. Just to make sure. There's no other reason I want to sing but because of that right there. Jesus. You want to close in prayer, Pastor Glenn? Yes.
Oh, Lord. Oh, my Lord. Magnificent Lord. God above all things. The Lord of salvation. The Lord of redemption. The Lord of forgiveness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We only can bless you because of who you are. We can only bless you, Lord. There's nothing left but blessings and honor to be bestowed upon you, Lord. How you've washed us, Lord, and made us pure. How you've changed us, God, daily, Lord. You're anointing us, Lord God, with your love and with your power. We're seeing you like we've never seen you before. Lord, you're opening our eyes, oh God. You're opening our ears, oh Lord. And we're so very, very, very thankful, God. We're so very thankful, Lord Jesus. Lord, we'll always proclaim your goodness. We'll proclaim your love. We'll proclaim your authority. We'll proclaim your divineness. We'll proclaim your majesty through it all, Lord, through it all. And we thank you, Lord, for being our covering. Thank you for your blood. Thank you, Lord, for your blood. Thank you, Lord, for your blood. We pray. Amen.